Here.
Ms. Jackson.
Here.
Mr. Fitzsimmons.
Here.
Mayor Allentown.
Here. When last you left this meeting, there had been a motion by Councilwoman Bona and a second by John to introduce 2016-019, final legal public hearing on the bond ordinance. I'm going to ask Ms. Bona if you would like to withdraw that motion, or I put a separate motion for tabling of 2016-019.
Yes.
Lisa?
Yep.
Doing that, we had some issues pointed out in the ordinance, issues that were pointed out were easily solved, but unfortunately, as we went through, we discovered a couple more issues. So we are revamping that. In connection with that, can I get a motion to, since that was one of the issues related to the ordinance, to direct the planning board to consider the creation of a plan if and to the extent that they declare 33 South North Rochdale to be a flooded area.
I'd like to make that motion.
Questions? Flooded area, or in other words, it's contingent upon their making the determination that it's a redevelopment zone?
Well, all they're going to do is make the determination that they should recommend to us. And in their view, it's a flooded area subject to potential redevelopment, which we then have to pass by ordinance, as I understand.
That, yes, that it will be contingent on them. They make a plan contingent on them making a recommendation that it's a redevelopment area.
Mm-hmm.
Or a blighted area. The redevelopment area is determined to be that. Okay. I'm sorry. We have two motions in second. We're not going to vote on the first motion. I'm not quite sure what the first motion is.
There was a motion at table.
There was a motion and a second at the last meeting.
Oh, I see.
Introduced places.
Okay.
No one
okay.
They have withdrawn.
Well, no, but also there was
a first and a second for the motion just moved by the mayor to direct the planning board regarding the redevelopment.
Right. But the first was a withdrawal of the motion. It was not a motion to table, but you mentioned both. It was a withdrawal.
It was a withdrawal.
Okay, that's fine.
If they hadn't withdrawn, it would have asked to the table.
Okay.
Are we good?
Yep.
Okay.
So let
me give you a specific text.
So can I elaborate on the motion, what we'd really like the planning board to do, at least what I think we'd like the planning board to do? Whereas the borough planning board is considering recommending to the council that the council designate the borough property at 33 North Rochdale as a blighted area in need of redevelopment. And whereas if the planning board recommends that the council designate 33 North Rochdale as a blighted area in need of redevelopment, the council desires to direct the planning board to prepare a redevelopment plan in such time as will allow the council to commence the process of redevelopment before winter, when we'd have to halt construction. And whereas the council would prefer that the planning board consider emergency services facilities among any other uses that the planning board may determine should be recommended to the council as permitted uses in any redevelopment plan presented to the council, resolved that, subject to a determination by the planning board, that the planning board should recommend to the council designate the 33 North Rochdale as a blighted area in need of redevelopment, the borough council hereby directs, pursuant to the provisions of Section 7F of the Redevelopment and Housing Law, New Jersey Statutes Annotated 40A:12A-1 et sec., that the Roosevelt Borough Planning Board prepare a redevelopment plan governing redevelopment of Block 6, Lot 2, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, and transmit said plan expeditiously to the Borough Council.
Do I have a second?
What were you reading from? Did you write that?
Jill moved it and Stacy checked.
Okay.
Okay. One, two,
Right, and we're not making the assumption. It's subject to a determination by the planning board that the planning board should recommend that the council designate. It is the council's choice to designate or not designate.
I have a question. You said that it came to your attention that there were some issues with the ordinance, and so we decided we should withdraw it. Who is the we?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure that's relevant, but I had the initial discussion. I had discussions with our borough council. I attempted to have discussions with the planning board. I've had on and off discussions with one of the members of the council.
Why one or two? Why not the whole council?
Because we can't do that. That's a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act.
No, you can discuss in public the reasons why you think it should be withdrawn.
We weren't in public.
Well, then why didn't you wait until we were in public?
Because we don't have to wait for everything until we're in public,
well,
or you're here to have a basic discussion.
Nothing's in
the
public.
The issue.
Well, I would like to. Did you? What were you reading from, Joe? Is that
the
something
issue,
you wrote?
I'm sorry. Can I finish my answer? Okay. The issue came up because Ms. Parrott raised an objection to the form of the and the timing of the ordinance. That particular issue was solvable, but as we started going through. I started going through, as council started going through, there were other issues. So it didn't make any sense to have a second reading and public hearing because we're comprehensive.
So who were the council members that you discussed it with?
I discussed it with Dr. Cody. I believe I had a discussion, one or two discussions with Mr. Cody.
And why those two?
Because those are the ones most closely working. Is there some limit on the people I choose to talk to on the council about a particular issue?
I think when some of the council's excluded, yes.
And the council, some of the council's always going to be excluded.
Some of the council is always excluded.
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay. Ms. Parrott comes to us and says, there's a problem with the ordinance. Okay. We go through and we discover that there's a problem with the ordinance. What then would you like to have happen?
At the next meeting, then you discuss with the public that we found, was pointed out by a resident, that there is a problem with the ordinance.
That's what I just said. That's how I
no,
introduced
no, no, no,
this
was
discussion.
All, you already had asked Stacy to withdraw it. So you knew you were going to, why didn't you have discussion first? You realize there's a problem. This was all done, you knew this was going to happen before the meeting tonight.
Of course, you know, all kinds of things happen between the meetings. You can't just come to a meeting
yes.
and say, okay, 2 months later, I'll come back to the meeting, and nothing will happen in between. If I hadn't had the conversations with council, if I hadn't had conversations with other
which
people.
Which, that's my point. You have conversations with some of the council, and all the time, and
maybe
none of the council.
You have conversations with some of the council, some of the council.
No, I don't.
Well, you should. You have a committee. And you have finance issues that I assume come up on a regular basis. But this conversation is not particularly helpful at this point.
I wanted to know how it ended up being withdrawn on the agenda, from the agenda, when there was no prior discussions at all. Obviously, things went on behind the scenes that some council members and
a citizen pointed out a problem.
I know you don't
and
have
suggested
to repeat
that we
I
should
understand
withdraw.
That.
Well,
I disagree with
me.
Your way of handling the situation once you found that there were problems.
I appreciate that. Is there any other discussion?
I would like to thank Maureen Parrott for pointing out the issues that she found in the ordinance.
Well, in a public session, I will comment on the remaining issues that I don't think you can do what you're trying to do now either. When you read the rest of the statute, you just read one section of every.
Aye.
No.
Mr. Fichtner?
No.
also had a meeting with a citizen about a citizen complaint.
That's number, nothing, finance.
Actually, the only thing I have is, I would like to meet with part of the administration committee, since I can't meet all of you at one time.
You can, because it's on the.
Oh, well, in that case, I have a request for a salary increase, so if I could maybe later on set up a time to meet with you to talk about it.
State of New Jersey is in a drought condition. We are not on a drought watch yet, but there's a public meeting on October 20th, and there may be updates after that meeting, so we'll find out if we need to impose any water restrictions after that. The utilities has been able to hire a part-time individual to help Toby. His name is Ali Abdelrahman, and we approved him at the beginning of this meeting, or the last time we met. We had a meeting with the folks at EIT, and one of the recommendations is that we speak with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to see if they have any grants or other kinds of opportunities for small rural areas for their sewer plant. So I called Christine Schmelzel, who is the representative at USDA. And it was a very good call. We currently have, with USDA, a 40-year loan that was taken out in 1982 for $310,000. And we owe now $84,000. We've paid it down. But that's at a 5% interest rate. So that's fairly high interest rate. We are overdue for a compliance review for civil rights as part of that loan. So Christine had to come out to our borough in any case and perform this compliance review. So she's going to come out and meet with us on November 21st at 10 a.m. She's also at that time going to talk to us about what opportunities there are for USDA loans. USDA right now has, for towns of our size and income, an intermediate rate of 1.875% for loans, which is much better than the 5%. It's for a 40-year term, and there's no prepayment penalty. They also have grants. Now, the criteria for their grants are that the rates, the water and sewer rates, after the work is done, need to show that they're more than other systems with equivalent dwelling units. And the grant is to be used to subsidize the rate. It sounded pretty good to me because our rates are so high. They also can partner with NJEIT and combine the funds with NJEIT funds, such that they accept one another's environmental reviews, so there isn't a duplication of the reviews. Last year, USDA had $3 million for all of New Jersey. So that's not actually very much, considering what we may have to do at the sewage treatment plant. But they can ask for more. There are funds from the national office. Their fiscal year starts October 1st, so they take applications all year, and they would make decisions on a rolling basis, and perhaps we would be eligible by next year. So the first step, it's a two-step pre-application, and the first step is to evaluate whether we're an eligible entity and whether it's an eligible project. our CFO and our engineer have to certify things like operating cost and income. So we'll be working on getting the pre-application done with our CFO, and the full application would come later. It was nice to hear that Christine Schmelzel and USDA have worked with our bond counsel, Megan Bennett Clark, and they have worked with Jerry Stankiewicz as well. So she was pretty sure that we would have no trouble completing the application and applying for funds. Defeased it.
Okay, so
that's the yes. Okay. It's okay. So, seems like a good thing. Another thing with water and sewer bills is that water and sewer bills were going to a post office box, box 391, and all of the borough mail was going to box 128. And the same people pick up the mail from both boxes. And so next year, we're not going to renew P.O. Box 391 for water and sewer. We're going to have all the mail go to Box 128, and we'll save $60. Not much, but it's also work. So you can do away with that amount of work.
Is there still the slot?
There's still the slot, yes. We would like to make water and sewer bills due every month instead of every other month. So I'm not quite sure what kind of resolutions. Okay. But I think that would be helpful to people in town to be able to pay a little bit every month instead of the larger bill every 2 months. And the last thing I have is going along with John's report about the risers for the manholes. The water cap risers were also installed by KTK, so they'll be ready for the paving project. That's it. I'll make that motion. I really think we should go to monthly bills. It just makes sense. You pay everything else monthly.
With the credit card, is there going to be a better way that the who pays the credit card fee?
If that's the resident.
Right.
So every
borough is not going to lose because you know.
Every town has an excess charge which is equal to the charge that they pay for the credit card. For those of you who don't know, when you use a credit card, usually the merchant charges or pays a fee to the credit card company. Very often it's 2.5% of some first 100 and then something else. So if
Edmonds.
Edmonds, just switch it over to Edmonds and let's know if it's subjected to review.
Objected to by our collector?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing on all business is the transportation alternative plan.
We had a motion in a second for that.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
Ms. Bowden?
Aye.
Ms. Roseanne?
Aye.
Ms. Lacode?
Aye.
Ms. Mathen?
Aye.
Mr. Thickman?
Since I wasn't here, what was the motion?
It was just. To move to Edmonds and allow.
No, for the transportation alternative grants.
No, we didn't.
Not there yet.
Oh, I see, sorry.
This is.
Okay, I was trying to move on to it. All right. Okay, transportation alternatives grant. I don't know if it's this on or something like that.
This is councilmember Thickman's conversation with the engineer regarding bicycle time.
The question was simply that we had the discussion about the signage for bicycles. And we said that we mentioned that we could use the transportation grants for the signage. So the response that we got from Cameron Carini was that they have that this would cost about $26,000, but that NJDOT recommends that projects under this program be between $150 and $1 million, so it's well short, obviously, of the amount that they're looking for. So that they won't give us less money than the minimum amount they want to give out. So Cameron is suggesting we increase the scope to include a larger area within the borough. So I don't know if anybody's interested in adding these things to the grant.
$75,000.
No, more than 75. Also, Sharon Walsh had raised some objections to having the grant go through the town. Yeah, nobody had raised objections before, so we have to talk to her about it and see what those objections were. But I can't see any reason of finding more things on which to spend money.
I couldn't either, but I just.
That's just silly. That's just silly.
I have been negotiating And I think all of us assumed over the years that we were giving clothing to a charity, if not for use of the clothing, but at least for use of the money when it was sold. Apparently not. Apparently we're giving it to some organization. So we may want to consider, we can certainly use the space, whether we want to remove that entirely or whether we want to replace it with something that is put out by a charity that actually gives money to people who need it. So, and I'm not saying anything bad about the MVETs, Vietnam, whatever. I just don't, when the sign says they're not a charity, but they'll give some money to this organization, as you already know, spent a fair amount of time on the phone and in the statutes with our council, and stuff that took about 3 years. So, going on, we talked about drought conditions. Is there anything else that somebody wants to bring up in new business? The flashing signs. We finally got the flashing signs. Those are the signs that say speed limit is 35, you're going 200 miles an hour. Those will be set up initially, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but they will be set up initially and they will be covered. And when they are covered, they still work. And what that means is they record every car and the speed of that car. So if we leave it up there
Have his friend ask the owners either where they got it or trying to find out some more information about it. So feel free to come up after the meeting and look at this. It's pretty fun and interesting. That's all I have to say.
Quick response, then we'll open to the public. The Yom Kippur meeting was, is actually, I'm not gonna go from Yom Kippur, but the Yom Kippur ends at sundown.
No, it doesn't.
Stop.
No, it doesn't.
I'm sorry, did I listen to you?
You interrupt me all the time. It does not end at sundown. People then eat dinner, and you know, Michael, could you please back me up on this?
It ends when it's dark and three stars in the sky, it's not at sundown.
And then you eat dinner.
And then you have to eat after the show.
Right, thank you.
That's your best of 25 hours when you do business right now.
Christmas doesn't end after you open the presents under the tree. It goes till night.
Am I allowed to speak, or are you done?
For now.
Hey, the Yom Kippur, the meeting that evening was scheduled back in January. In order to adjourn the meeting, you have to open the meeting. That's the law. You open the meeting, you adjourn it. I did, in fact, offer to have it for you on Thursday. You said that did not work for you. I offered to have the speaker on Thursday.
You offered to open on Monday and on Wednesday and then have it Thursday. The difference between Thursday and Monday, yes, I preferred today, but I was fine with Thursday. What my problem was with opening it and adjourning on Wednesday, and you didn't just open and adjourn. You had some official business you took care of.
You paid me.
It was ready. You had a meeting, just a short one.
Nonetheless, I will repeat this. In order to adjourn the meeting, you are required by law. As much as we are a friendly town, we are still bound by the laws of the state of New Jersey, pursuant to which we took an oath. The law says you open the meeting and then you adjourn. You can't just say, I've changed my mind. You have to open the meeting in order to adjourn. We opened it, we adjourned it. In fact, we adjourned it to Monday, which is what you had, I did not know at the time, had originally asked for.
Yes, but my problem is with Wednesday, and I called Kelly, well, a week before to say that there was a problem. When I called her and said, what are we doing? Monday's Columbus Day, and Tuesday and Wednesday are going before. And she said, no, just Tuesday. I said, no, Tuesday and Wednesday, not just Tuesday. So there was time to advertise the meeting for Thursday or the next Monday. I made Kelly aware of the situation well in plenty of time to
reschedule. So obviously what you want to do is just continue ranting. I'm not going to get to respond. Do I get to respond?
Well, your response is so inadequate.
Okay. Anyway, let's continue because I was responding to the rest of it. It's very far. Let's open the public session. Does anybody in the public have something to say?
First, simple.
Some of them are concrete, some of them
If I could just add to that, on the beginning of the risers, that first step, there is a strip that's put on that first step that is an anti-slip thing. So they must have been thinking that they would need to do that.
The purpose of that strip was to create a visual distinction between the steps, so that people wouldn't miss
okay.
a step. It wasn't
right.
And the material that was used happens to be a traction or
yeah.
a friction. The thing is that those things are not real durable outside.
Oh, they aren't.
So that in the course of the year they're going to rub off.
Okay.
And will have to be replaced. If we're talking about the entire length of the platforms, that will become a considerable expense. And but that particular material will become an annual expense. But if Joe or someone else, if you get a contract with somebody to suggest some materials and treatments, efforts within the grant, then something that we can just see as an extension of the project.
So the strip on the end was not something to entice you to go up to the top of yourself.
No.
That's what the arrow is for. Yeah. The points well made also about sign pointing people for doing that. Because any treatment that we're talking about, if there are leaves that cover that, then
yeah.
you still have that issue.
You also don't want to get a material on there that's counterproductive to the environmental sensitivity
mm-hmm.
of the walkway. So you want to you should have something that roughs it up a little bit. My guess is that, I don't know if we have to customize it or something, but yeah, it would be simple. Thank you for being here.
We're looking for the no motorized vehicles on the side.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. For the ATVs.
Right.
Well, thus we're extended by the cemetery, from the cemetery down to the solar village. There's one small bridge over the little Cedar Creek. That's pretty stiff, too. Not on it for a very long time because it does have some grade and it does get wet.
That would be another question.
That would be your
question. Okay.
No, I think that was, you're talking about
the trail.
In the new section of the trail that runs along the field, we have some things. Right, that was put in as part of the trail project in order to cross a fire break. So.
That's going to be old.
It's just another part of the same project. Thank you, John.
I remember the weather. That's a question.
Hi, Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I have a few comments. One is that I'm very personally happy that the credit card came
have we applied for insurance to fix it?
Well, we have not applied for insurance to fix just that, because the truck is also down. So the truck is, should be at the repair station, and the estimate is that it's for the wall, which is.
So you're going to apply for the wall to be fixed?
Well, assuming that the building is staying up, yes. If the building's not staying up, then no.
Well, okay, but, yes, I would urge you to, since I'm gonna urge you to.
Why would we apply for the money if we're entitled to the money, essentially? That's a, we're not obligated to use it to fix that wall, which is.
I was answering the question about whether, well, I was trying to answer the question of whether we fix the wall.
I'm sure it's a question of whether we apply for the money.
Yeah, the funds.
I think we apply for the money in any event.
To the extent that we're entitled to money, absolutely.
Correct.
Pay that.
Okay, I know that you just voted to, today, on the, referring to the planning board to create a redevelopment plan. Couple of comments, one is that, in my view, just the public hearing on the redevelopment zone is going to, might be costly, because you're gonna have to pay professional fees for that, and it actually is a public hearing, that has witnesses and all that have to be called, so I think that's very costly, and my own view is I don't see the financial benefit to the community in having that be a redevelopment zone. So, I would urge you to rescind, as the mayor had previously tried to do, the referral to the redevelop, to the planning board to consider designating this property a redevelopment zone. I would urge you to rescind that. So that's one point. And then my final point is that what you did tonight was to refer, to ask them to develop a redevelopment plan. Well, the other part of the redevelopment statute, section 48:12a-7f, doesn't really give you the power to do that now either. The governing body of a municipality may direct the planning board to prepare a redevelopment plan or an amendment or revision to a redevelopment plan for a designated redevelopment area. So you really only have that authority once you've designated it that. And there's a rationale for that, because in the designation, after that public hearing, there can be any, of course, any person can testify at the hearing, and any person can file written objections. That's section 6 of the statute. You're going to have to get the approval of the Department of Community Affairs before you designate the zone, and anyone who files objections can seek a file action loop private writ challenging it. So not only is it so costly, in my view, to have a public hearing for something that has no financial benefit to the town, but I don't think they have the legal authority to now, before you've designated this a redevelopment zone, to tell them to, on top of it, make a plan. So I think, again, that's just illegal. And I guess I mean, it was nice that you recognized I did it, but we do pay an attorney, I think, $95,000 a year, that I think, in my view, it should have been told, the council should have been advised before this one you just rescinded, 2016-019, that this is illegal before you did it, not to have to wait for me to look it up and tell you.
Okay. Yes, I understand that it costs money to our adherents, and we'll point out that the process of the referendum followed by the process of the committee, followed by the process of maintaining what we had to maintain, is currently, if everybody had the same valuation, would be $200 per household. It's been spent so far about $70,000. So the cost of another hearing, paying a lawyer for an hour, I'm not sure it's going to be an easy issue.
Well, could I respond to that, which is that it was your counsel, I remember a year ago, me asking you to put your bond ordinance, to make it subject to a referendum
450 or 55, we would have been able to make the general election. However, as I was told by Mr. Clark, we're gonna wait until we have as many as possible. We came in 3 days late, 3 days later than we were allowed by the county to include it in the November ballot. Hence, we had to have a special election. Those are the facts.
Well, but I also, before you passed that, I stood here and told you all, all we have to get is 47 signatures to put it
important to tell people, you agree?
That's fine.
Good.
The issue is what does the statute call it? The question was, is it called, it says ballot question, by the way, I saw it for the first time today.
Right.
And I went down the list, and it wasn't until a minute later when I said, what happened to the referendum questions, that I went back and realized that if you go all the way to the bottom, you can check it off.
I think people get confused about
the statute calls a referendum. It is clearly a non-binding referendum. You can only have a binding referendum if you want a bonding issue.
But I think the council needs to make that clear and frank to the public, that these are non-binding public questions, which is what it says on the ballot. That's why I'm going with that term. It's what the ballot says is the public questions. And I think it's been unclear. I don't know if anybody else has had that kind of, we're not really sure what's going on with that. And since we're going to be voting on it, I think it's really important to say that these are non-binding public questions and the council can still do whatever it wants to do, regardless of what it says, right?
Did you have another, did you have one?
I have quite a few.
Okay.
Am I limited to time, Ms. Davis? Is there a 5-minute limit anymore?
There is a 5-minute limit, but we have been suspending it so that people can vote.
I'll try to talk in short, Sam.
I
haven't been here for a while, so I filled up a few questions. I did want to respond. I think it's a great idea to make the water sewer bills in smaller, bite-sized pieces for people, because it's easy to get two. If you get two bills behind, you're actually behind 4 months. And then it gets hard for people to catch up. If they want to make a partial payment, that's a nightmare for Sal.
Yep.
But we went through this once before, and one of the complaints that Sal had is it's going to double his fees for actually billing, because he's going to bill twice as often. There's going to be 12 billings that he does for everybody in town, as opposed to 6. So I just want to let this council know that the price probably will go up on Sal's end as a result of this.
$15,000 on whether it is or not.
Yeah.
We've been going round and round on this question. The only real objection is that.
Yeah, I don't have
the citizens.
I think it's a great idea. Credit card is a great idea too, because you know people don't have the money. Maybe they have the money next month. So
I like Sal, but to continually say I don't like it is not.
Well, also he is limited to his current salary.
I wanted to talk a little bit about a redevelopment zone, because for people that don't know me, I was mayor from the beginning of 2000 through the end of 2003. And I believe it was in 2003, we did create a redevelopment zone for some properties in town where the property owners let the property deteriorate. And, you know, things were falling apart. I believe the gas station was part of one of the properties that was in that redevelopment zone.
In fact, the gas station property is the only redevelopment zone.
Yeah.
Owned by the borough.
But, thank you. But, you know, when you really look at the purpose and you read the law on it, the municipal land use law makes it pretty obvious that the purpose of this law is to control properties that you might not otherwise be able to control. So municipal government can now then have some power and authority to actually move on areas that are truly blighted, where there's a problem. You can't always go after every individual landowner or property owner. That's a nightmare for towns to have to do that. So that's generally the purpose of it. What's curious here, and what really is troubling to me, is the municipal government wants to take control of the property that's owned by the municipal government.
I would point out, Mike, please talk to the council.
That's troubling. I can look behind me every now and then.
Would you like a response?
Not until I'm finished.
Okay.
No, so what's troubling to me is that seems to be the good. What happens in a redevelopment zone is the municipality is given quite a few powers that it ordinarily may not have. One of the powers, powers of eminent domain, powers to really control these properties, which are really kind of awesome, extraordinary powers that municipal governments are granted when they create a redevelopment zone. So it's not anything to be taken lightly, because you're depriving people of certain rights. borough government using that power to prevent a bond from going to referendum as it was, as it went through, as the same bond that was proposed went to referendum December 15 of last year. And I think that that's an invalid use of the ordinance. I think it's very inappropriate. And quite frankly, it really ticks me off that I wouldn't be allowed to vote on how my tax dollars are spent. That somebody else would have a bond passed and then would say, take away that right, that statutory, ordinarily. There's a statutory right to take, to challenge these bonds if you have enough signatures and to bring it to referendum. This would be stripped. The voters would be disenfranchised. They're not, it would not be permitted
Mike,
to.
I know you haven't been here for a lot of meetings.
I don't want to hear that kind of condescending talk. I just want to make a statement and that's it.
Okay, but my point is that we have said that quite clearly.
Yeah.
You are implying that we have somehow snuck under the tent this concept of we're declaring it a redevelopment zone because it will block the ability of a challenge to the bond. You said that very clearly and often. So I want to be clear, your statement is implying that we have somehow misled people.
No, I'm not
actually
implying
in the record
that.
I said that is exactly
I
want to
make it
clear.
Clear I'm not implying that. I know you said that, and I know that Michael has said that to private citizens in town. I know people were polled about their knowledge of whether or not they're aware that they would be taking away the voter's right to challenge it in a referendum and still voted in an affirmative on it. But I just want to say that I think it's an abuse of a very extreme power, and I don't think it's to be taken lightly. I don't think the state takes it lightly. I think if it was challenged in court, it would fail on its merits. I'm not an attorney. I don't pretend to be, but I can read statutes, and I have read those statutes before, and they haven't substantially changed since I read them in depth in 2003. And I really just think it would be horrible if people don't have a chance to vote on how their tax dollars are spent. That's really all I have to say about this. Thank you.
Just a couple of comments. The landowners who are deprived of their rights as the municipality is the only landowner here. While, in fact, you do not believe that as a municipality acquiring a municipality's own land, I would suggest that you look at Princeton, which, in fact, is a Supreme Court case on precisely this issue, in which Princeton condemned its own land for the purpose of building.
Well, I
clever to do that, there's, I don't know where you're planning on building this building, that hasn't been discussed, where are you planning on building?
Right there.
Where?
Right there, where the front of.
Okay, but that's not a redevelopment then.
Not yet.
Right.
If we don't do it there, we can do it across the street.
Right.
But the bottom line is, and I'll ask you the same thing I ask everybody else, okay, what's your plan to deal with the issue?
I have plenty of alternatives if you'd like to discuss, I most certainly.
I would have, we had 6 months of hearing, I would have been the monthly, who have heard one that works.
Yeah.
Yes, the commission met from January through June.
But
I'm
just here to make a matter, to make a statement into the public record that I don't think that this is a valid purpose. When I read the statute, and I read it very carefully, I also read some of the legal decisions about it. I don't think it's a valid purpose. If the purpose is to prohibit and disenfranchise voters from taking it to referendum, I'm stating that I don't think that's a valid purpose that's listed in the statutes for that, and I think it's a terrible thing to do. I don't see why you can't put it before the voters and give them the ultimate say in the matter. It's their money. They should have a right to see how this.
We have been told.
Thank you, sir.
The purpose is not merely to avoid a referendum. The purpose is to get something done in order to comply with state mandates and requirements. As far as, as I said, we could have done this at any time, but I have been told very distinctly in this room by Scroop that no matter what it is that is decided, since it has to be financed with a bond, you know that, can't do a capital project with current funds, right? So since it has to be done with a bond, no matter what it is that the council and mayor come up with, we're going to run a challenge. And that means we go through this eternal loop of the state saying, if you don't do something, we're going to fine you. And every time you try to do something, 40 people go out and say, okay, we're going to make you go to a referendum.
And that's
and
your rationale for wanting to disenfranchise voters from being able to vote on a referendum?
If that's how you want to phrase it, yes.
Thank you.
Is my rationale for assuring that we are in compliance with law and we are not fined. We have already been threatened with very substantial fines. I don't want to do that again if we can avoid it.
I have a
name and address, please, for the record.
Sorry. Judith Mathis, 3A95. On a couple of issues. One has to do with the redevelopment plan, and I'm not going to quote any of the law because I'm not a lawyer, but I can read. And I read it over about three times.
I'm sorry, read
my
what
over. Pardon me?
I'm sorry, read what over? I'm sorry, read it over.
Oh, the laws of New Jersey related to redevelopment issues, of which there are some. And I'm not going to quote them because I don't know what they were. I was just reading that. I don't care what the numbers are. And my understanding is that this is a process that has numerous stages, four or five stages. And as I sat here tonight, it sounded to me like what it is that you agreed to pass was actually a combination of three of those steps. At one time. And my understanding is that each of those is a separate issue and should be considered totally separately and not as a package. And that I think that the vote on the redevelopment needs to be withdrawn. That's number one. Number two is, it has been known for a while about the code violations on that road. And the simple thing to do to remedy that would be just to
instead of not filing an insurance claim and getting the money to do what needs to be done for that building. And then we wouldn't have to pay those fines, those penalties, over and over. And I've read what the penalties are. I know it ranges from $28,000 or $2,800 to $4,900. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you renegotiate something with the state. But it's quite simple. And yet, if you say that we are not giving you alternatives, during that 6 month committee, we did present alternatives. Joe Trumell presented an alternative. There were other alternatives presented. But if you pretend that these are not alternatives, then of course they're not alternatives. And the community has done what you asked to do, and yet you've ignored it. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public? Of course. I'm sorry, no, no, at this point I have to stop, okay? We had a meeting, we had a negotiating group in which a person who was on the committee to oppose the bond, that being Bob Clark, was a member. Bob participated in that discussion, agreed to those terms, started that discussion. I will point out, however, that on Wednesday evening, I believe two Saturdays after that, the,
He told me he did not agree to that and was not informed ahead of time.
No, he didn't. He did not agree to that.
Okay.
Bob Clark would not agree to that.
Anyway.
Okay, they're in my notes, they're in your notes.
Yeah, but we had a pre-meeting before we even went to the meeting, and we had it with Bob Clark.
Bob was sitting.
No, no, with Bob Clark.
Did you see the notes?